KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here. It is a Friday morning. And so we're getting ready for the weekend. A couple of stories that we are covering is that the governor did sign the three housing-related bills into law. And it all, and I'm listening this morning to Wayne, and it's all about allowing multi-stories or multi-number of dwellings on a particular project or on a lot. In other words, someone can buy a lot, tear down the building, and put up a single-family story or the other way around. Today, you can put up whatever you want as long as you meet zoning. And under the law, you know, the new law, you don't have much decision-making on that one. The state is going to be able to mandate you that you can put up X number of units. Well, that's a big one because I've been involved with single-family dwellings. Mainly, that's it for, what, the last 30 years. All right, I want to go back and give you a little backstory about this woman. And I'm going to tell you near the end of this segment why you may very well change your mind about her. And we're talking about Tammy Faye Baker, the televangelist. And watching her show, hers and Jim Baker's show, was spectacular. They'd be on TV. They had their own network, by the way. It's a Praise the Lord network. And they put on show after show, and Tammy had a bunch of shows on it. And she had the makeup, of course, with those eyes, those raccoon eyes. And she would cry as people were donating or in asking for donations. She would cry, where in the background, Jim Baker would say, and if you double your donation, you will get double the blessings from the Lord. And in the meantime, their private jet is parked right outside, ready to fly them wherever. So the jets, certainly the cars, the $12 million home on the beach in Florida. Let me tell you, that's a good life to have. Well, he got in a little bit of trouble, Jim Baker, and this was sort of collapsed everything. It was, Jerry Falwell, another televangelist, accused Jim Baker of having sexual relationships with other men, including Praise the Lord official, who revealed his relationship to a grand jury with Baker. And Baker was convicted, and the actual conviction was paying for sexual favors out of church money. And he was convicted, 28 counts of fraud, conspiracy, 45 years in prison, paroled in 1994 after serving just under 5 years. And Tammy and Jim got divorced. He's been married to his second wife for over two decades now. She died I think it was cancer a few years ago. All right, so there you go. You had one of the most popular televangelists. As a matter of fact, probably the most popular. I mean, at the top of their heap, when they were literally at the top of their viewership, 20 million people around the world were watching that show. And Jim Baker was sitting there, double your gift to the Lord. You will get double your blessings. And you go, 20 million people, how much money do you think money poured in? Well, there's the jet, there's the house, and we eat at really nice restaurants, and she has her makeup on, which was fantastic, and the way she cried. There's a film coming out, by the way, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, and it opens tonight at movie theaters all over. I'm certain it's going to come to a cable pretty soon. And here's what it actually features. And this is where we go to, this is a very different lady than many of us thought. In the interview took place, in the 80s, a very long time ago. And she was being interviewed. Actually, she was interviewing this gentleman at her Tammy's house party show. And this guy was a gay man living with HIV, live television, treated him with compassion. She was the first televangelist to ever encounter and talk to an AIDS activist who has survived. And that's pretty unusual based on when he contracted AIDS. HIV. And so here's what she did. She absolutely broke down crying when Peters, the interviewer, during the interview, she found out that Peter's parents accepted him when he came out. At that point, she got visibly emotional and she started crying. Thank God for a mom and a dad who will stand up with a young person. They're still your boy. They're still your girl, no matter what happens in their life. Now, that's an extraordinary statement by a televangelist that far back. And people were really shook up, especially in that area of the televangelical movement. And so you got to look at this woman and say, wow, here she is coming out for the first time when AIDS, even before it was named AIDS, and literally gives solace and tells an AIDS patient, you're okay, God loves you. Remember back in those days, it was the queer disease and you wouldn't touch anybody and the stigma was beyond comprehension. You might as well go live under a rock. Well, she went the other way. I tell you, I read this thing and I'm going, whoa, I never would have thought that ever in a million years. So it starts today, the eyes of Tammy Faye, and I'm certainly going to be watching this. Only because of what she did those many years ago. Oh, by the way, it was literally 2 months after Ronald Reagan, the president, actually uttered the word AIDS in a public speech. So that's how far back this goes. So 2 months later, she's sitting down with this interview and talks about being a Christian and God loving all his children. And she says, our hearts have to go out. How can you be a good Christian and not reach out to an AIDS patient and tell him you love him and you support him? Now, on the religious side, my feelings about religion in general. But on a humanitarian side, extraordinary move she made that many years ago. Can't wait to see it. All right, coming up. Oh, it's all about those spaceship rides for tourists. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what a big part of it is that's not being talked about very much. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, Bill Handel here, and good morning. All right, we got plenty to cover here still. A lot of show. SpaceX Inspiration 4 mission launched on Wednesday, and on Sunday it's returning. And that is four astronauts, not professional astronauts, all civilians, are in this spaceship, in this capsule that is circling the Earth. It's an orbit. It's an orbital flight, which both Virgin Galactic and Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos' flight, did not. They were just a minor go up in the sky, say hello to a round Earth, have 3 or 4 minutes of weightlessness, and then you come down. And those seats are hundreds, there are tens of millions of dollars. They're talking about it's going to be about $250,000. I would be very surprised. Eventually it will be. I've never understood wanting to be weightless either, by the way. Just never gotten it. Oh, Bill, don't you want to be weightless? No. You really want that feeling? Ride a fast elevator half a dozen times. And you can match the whole thing. It's just incremental. So one of the things that you're going to notice is how much signage you're going to see. Products that were brought up to space and then came down and were sold. Now, that's actually started in the Mercury days, when astronauts would be able to bring up a couple of pounds of personal stuff or a pound of personal stuff. And usually they were tokens and given out to families or small American flags. NASA has a pretty strict rule that if you are a governmental employee, that is in the military, work for NASA, you're not doing anything about selling product until you retire. So and so you have a 30-something-year-old astronaut. He's going to be waiting 30 years, assuming he stays in the service. Well, there was always been an unwritten rule, an understanding between NASA and the astronauts, in which these small items were be able to go up, and the issue is, who do they belong to? Is it the astronaut? Is it the space agency? And Barack Obama signed a bill that said it's theirs. They can do whatever they want with it. So, for example, there was one bag that was used to collect moon dust. It was used by Neil Armstrong, and it sold at Sotheby's a couple of years ago for $1.8 million. Now, this is a Ziploc bag, basically. Don't forget to seal it, because things come out. And so what's going on with this? What's going on with SpaceX and Blue Horizon and Virgin Galactic? Well, these are businessmen. Now, Jared Isaacman, the guy who is doing this, he bought space on the SpaceX rocket, and he's calling it the Inspirational 4 mission. It's basically charity. And all the money that's raised through donations, et cetera, go to St. Jude's Medical Center. And that's the kind of guy he is. He's very impressive. It's worth reading about him. But here's the things that are going to be going up or have gone up already. Space-themed watches, stuffed rocket ship toys based on the Netflix series Space Racers. There's a $2,000 Martin guitar ukulele. How can you spend $2,000 on a ukulele? Well, they're bringing one up. It's going to be played. It'll be the first instrument ever played in space. And it costs $2,000. Someone's going to spend $1 zillion on it. There is going to be signage. You go to Dodger Stadium and you see the signs right along the edging the field, the fencing along the field. It's nothing but signage, and it changes, and it's these jumbo screen kind of signs. I think you're going to see those. And by the way, I'm not exaggerating because this has been going on forever. And now, since it's all private, and now since it's funded by businessmen, the sky's the limit in terms of what they're going to sell. Now, obviously, this is for a limited time only. God, it sounds like a commercial, doesn't it? And for a limited time, or four easy payments of $29.95, it's going to blow wide open. The first few trips, people will pay big money for. And then obviously, as more and more of these flights happen and more product is being brought up and brought down and sold. Sam Adams Beer, they bought and put on the spaceship 66 pounds of hops. So Inspiration 4 is carrying 66 pounds of, 66,000. No, it's 6,600. I knew it was one of those. 6,600 pounds of hops. Because they're going to make a beer out of those hops that went to space. It's fascinating. No price yet. Because you know what it costs to put a single pound up in space? Thousands of dollars. And it's a hell of a way of going. And I can't wait for the various products to be sold. So how is it that you have a bag of that was used to transport moon dust and that went for $1.8 million? Because you know how many of those are? There's one. Wouldn't you like to go to space little token? There's going to be lots of those. You're going to see some amazing things being sold on all three of the spaceships. Skittles announced it would release a limited time candy pack. It's still Skittles, but 0G Skittles. Oh yeah, love this stuff. Nice way to make money, especially for charity. That's the part that's so inspirational. And diving into Jared Isaacman background, you know what? I may even do that the next couple of days or next week. This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. This is the Bill Handel Show. You just missed him. He is layering in more studio time on the way to a full return to the show. So make sure you listen all the time. Ooh, next week, there'll be even more Bill on this show. There should be. It's his show. On Saturday, September 25th, iHeartRadio, KFI AM 640, and Global Citizen are teaming up to bring you Global Citizen Live, a worldwide music event to create awareness around the world's biggest challenges, including climate change, vaccine equity, and famine. There'll be events all around the globe, and you can join the movement live from the Greek Theater on September 25th. Live performances from Stevie Wonder, Adam Lambert, Demi Lovato, One Republic, The Lumineers, and 5 Seconds to Summer. To become a Global Citizen today and to take action and earn a free ticket to the event, go to globalcitizenlive.org. Global Citizen Live, a concert to defend the planet and defeat poverty. As your doctor? Crozier, can you pretend to be a patient with me just for a second? Do you mind? Ah, I see that you're having a cough.
Yeah.
Maybe a little weak?
Throat.
Pre-diabetic, possibly?
Oh, probably.
Well, I'm going to write you a prescription.
Yummy.
I'm going to prescribe 3 medium tomatoes twice a day.
Tomatoes?
And 1 head of kale once per day. There you go. And when you leave my office, you'll see a van. You can fill this prescription at the van. Just show them this prescription for your tomatoes and kale. And we'll see you soon. We'll do a little follow-up.
Kale.
Now, what you have just witnessed, ladies and gentlemen, was a dramatic interpretation of a real thing that is happening, which is food being prescribed as medicine. It is a movement, if you will. Now, it is in its early stages, but there are many who hope that it will become a common thing. Produce prescribing, they call it. It's been around for several years. They would like it to become part of health systems, like your health insurance would cover the cost of certain healthy foods that your doctor has decided you should eat. One thing that is true is that there is a lot of money spent on treating medical conditions that could be prevented or at least greatly reduced with healthier eating. And if you right now are thinking, oh, no, I am not interested in a lecture from this vegan about healthy eating, let me assure you of a couple of things. I'm not vegan. I'm not vegetarian. And I would never tout the healthiness of my eating habits. A lecture is not what's coming. What's coming is some information about the costs to the healthcare system of things like poor nutrition, obesity, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and hypertension, cardiovascular disease. And some of these things can be food mediated. There's a recent Rockefeller Foundation report, and they found that poor nutrition and diet, just that issue, added $1 billion a year in health costs. Now, here's how they break that down. $359 million from the obesity caused from poor nutrition and diet, and $604 million from food-related non-communicable diseases. That's your hypertension, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and all of it. So it does make some public policy sense to look at prescribing healthy foods as a way to mitigate some of these costs, because I can guarantee you that the cost to provide patients who have these conditions with healthy food is significantly less than the cost of treating all of these conditions. Are people going to follow the rules if your doctor actually prescribes for you a bowl full of Brussels sprouts a day? Are you going to eat them? Maybe not, but you know what? Lots of people don't take their pills. When it's medicine, when it's what we recognize now as medicine, which is to say drugs in pill and capsule form, a lot of people don't follow those prescriptions either. So I don't know that it's a good argument against doing this that a lot of people won't eat the food, because a lot of people already aren't doing the stuff that they're supposed to do. So the idea would be, and boy, oh boy, is this going to take a long time for this to ever happen. The idea would be to get to the point where, for example, Medicare and Medicaid would pay for the organic heirloom tomatoes that your doctor prescribes for you. Right now, what you have are a collection of pilot programs, small philanthropic ventures. You've got state waiver experiments to try to have doctors recommend healthy food and then have the food be provided. And in Charlottesville, Virginia, they have this system, and it is pretty cool, where you have a co-op of farmers, and they are paid by, it's a private organization, so right now it's private funding. They are paid for their produce, and then the private organization gets it, puts it in a van, and goes outside of clinics. And inside the clinic are doctors who are hip to what's going on. And for example, they might see a patient, they're a little bit overweight, maybe they're pre-diabetic. Instead of starting right with the big pharmaceutical drugs to try to intervene, they find out what they're eating. They go, oh, you're eating too much of that. You're not eating any of these great foods. So here's what I'm going to prescribe for you. I'm going to prescribe that you get these things. And then they walk out, they go to the van, they get what the doctor prescribed. A person with diabetes who doesn't have reliable access to healthy, affordable food adds $4,500 a year in costs to a health plan. Think about the amount of fresh produce that you could buy with $4,500 a year. A lot. Remember, I said this is not a lecture. I don't like eating my vegetables. I don't like it any better than anybody. But one thing I will say that I found to be true is that if you can get your hands on fresh, farm fresh vegetables, they do taste better. And it is more enjoyable to eat those than like a tomato from the supermarket compared to a tomato right from the farm. There is a big difference. I've found, as a guy who hates almost every vegetable, I have been enticed to eat some vegetables when they have come straight from the farm. The problem is it can be very expensive. And that's why the push here to A, have doctors recognize that sometimes food can be medicine, and B, to recognize that it might be good public policy and stewardship of our healthcare dollars to have health plans and even the government pay for the access. That eliminates the cost problem. Let's get a news update from the fantastic Michael Crozier. And then, does it seem to you more adults are throwing tantrums in public? You want to know why it seems that way to you? Oh, I'll tell you. It's KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It is the Bill Handel Show. Gary and Shannon are coming up after we explore why more adults are throwing tantrums in public. It seems like it's happening. And if we ask the people who are often on the receiving end of the tantrum, it definitely is increasing. There's a guy named John DiDonna, and he was talking to the Wall Street Journal about an incident that happened recently, and he was confessing. He was tattling on himself as being one of these adults that 6 months ago would never do what he did, but he did what he did. He was in line at a supermarket. There was another shopper there. He felt the other shopper was a little too close to him in the COVID era. He asked the guy, hey, could you please take a step back? And the other guy, instead of just honoring a simple request, moved even closer. So then this guy, DiDonna, he goes, oh, you love me that much? The other person said something, bada, 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 bada. Mr. DiDonna retorted with, bada, 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 except those were all curse words. And then he said, and after that happened, after I snapped at him and he snapped at me and I cursed at him, and then I felt terrible. But his fuse is shorter today than it was certainly at the beginning of this pandemic. And apparently a lot of our fuses are shorter than they were. Now, that's just an anecdotal feeling that some of you might have based on what you witness as you walk around. Let's go to the source. The people who are often the target who bear the brunt of tantrums. Restaurant servers, airline workers, customer service people. All of those groups say the number of adults throwing tantrums has gone through the roof. Everywhere you go, somebody's yelling at somebody about something. This is an easy to understand psychological phenomenon. The pandemic's been extremely stressful on everybody. I don't know anybody when you say, hey, you know, how have you been handling all of this? Who says, fine, I love it. I know that for a while at the beginning, you would see people on social media or maybe people in your life, and they would jokingly talk about, well, I never go anywhere anyway, so for me, this is perfect. I.e., hey, I'm handling this just fine. But that was really more joking. And then what happened is we thought we were done. We thought we were done when things reopened in June and everybody went, man, that was tough. I didn't enjoy it, but it's over. So the first half of this thing, we all thought it would be temporary. And when you think a bad situation is temporary, there's a much higher level of stress that you can take on without having a bad reaction. When the Delta variant showed up, that was it for a lot of people. People who were maintaining, they've lost it now. There are companies that actually track consumer behavior, and they are detecting unusually high levels of crankiness and dissatisfaction. The American Customer Satisfaction Index, they track the behavior of 300,000 consumers across 46 different industry sectors. According to that index, customer satisfaction is at the lowest level since 2005. And that's because your experience as a customer is different. There's product shortages, you know that. There's labor shortages, you know that. When you're already stressed, and then there's a gap between supply and demand. What it means for you is, I'd like a vanilla latte, please. I'm so sorry, we're out of vanilla syrup. We couldn't get any more this week. When that kind of thing happens over and over, and you're already stressed out anyway, that's what'll make you blow your top. A lot of this is over the rules, the thing that's making people lose it, our rules for the pandemic, whether it's vaccine mandates, whether it's mask mandates. There was a poll of food service workers, and 80% of them said that they had either been the victim of or had directly seen one of their coworkers be the victim of harassment and anger over virus safety measures. So that is endemic to the pandemic. There's a restaurant on Cape Cod that shut down simply to give the workers a break from the abrasive customers. It's called Apt Cape Cod. It's in Brewster, Massachusetts. And people were so rude at this restaurant. Constantly, all day, every day. Why isn't a table ready? Why don't you have a table for me? How come I asked you for coffee 3 minutes ago and I don't have a cup of coffee? And the workers couldn't take it anymore. And so during a time when restaurants really can't afford to be closed, if they don't have to, the owner made a choice to shut it down just to give everybody a breather. I don't think there's a solution here, by the way, unless you're able to do something like that for your workers. I think maybe we should give all food service industry people, retail workers, airline crew members, one of those massive air horns. Just equip them all with those air horns. And when somebody starts to get in your face, blast them. Because that'll interrupt the tantrum. Gary and Shannon are coming up right now after a news update from Amy King. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.